Hi, everybody. Thank you for the introduction. So I just wanted to point out my co-author, Sarah Doty, is actually from CMAR, which is the community health center that we partnered with. And Betty Thompson is a co-investigator and the principal investigator of the larger grant. And Gloria Coronado and Shirley Beresford are both co-PIs of this project. So the objectives today, my presentation is a little smaller scale than some of the ones we've just heard, but very related. So I'm just going to talk about how we trained our promotoras to increase mammography screening among low-income Latinas in our project, and describe how we ensured and evaluated fidelity to a motivational interviewing protocol that we used. So just to give you some background, Latinas in the U.S. do have a later stage of detection of breast cancer than non-Latina whites, and which is in part due to the low use of mammography screening. And so we designed our intervention, Fortaleza Latina, to increase mammography screening among Latinas that were already seeking care and were currently patients at a community health center. And so the project was a multi-level intervention to increase opportunities for mammography among Latinas age 40 to 74 who had had a clinic visit at the CMAR Community Health Center in the past 5 years. And so there were sort of two aspects of the intervention. One was that they received a home visit, those that were randomized into the intervention group received a home visit from a promotora. And then we also increased access to mammography by providing a mobile mammography van to certain clinic sites. And so we partnered with the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance to provide the mobile mammography unit, and then CMAR was the community health center, and they had several sites that were in these four different communities. And so we had clinics at each of these, in each of these colored squiggles and recruited women that were in catchment areas that were in a 20-mile road distance of those clinics. So in terms of how we developed the intervention, we first did some formative work and conducted focus groups with Latina patients and key informant interviews with clinic staff to find out what the barriers and facilitators to mammography were for Latinas. And when we analyzed that data, we found that some of the barriers were just that women said, oh, I feel fine, I'm not having any symptoms. It's decidia, which is sort of a Spanish term for I just put it off, I don't get to it, it's some ambivalence. Some women said it hurts, again, this I just put it off. And above the line are things that we considered sort of internal barriers or facilitators, and below the line are things that the women had less control over. So more external barriers, that it's too expensive, or I just didn't know that, you know, that wasn't something the woman could control. They just had a myth or misconceptions about when they needed mammography. And then in terms of facilitators, the women said they knew it was important. You know, they knew they just needed to do it. Some of them said they wanted to know the results of their mammography screening. And then external facilitators were when their doctor told them and when it was free. So based on those that formative work, we reviewed the literature to identify theoretical frameworks and intervention approaches that could have kind of helped guide what the promotoras were going to be doing with the participants. And we landed on motivational interviewing as an approach that would really address the idea of this intrinsic motivation, so the internal barriers and facilitators, and that it also really focused on the ambivalence, the decidia concept. So for those of you that aren't familiar with motivational interviewing, it's a directive counseling style for eliciting behavior change by helping participants explore and resolve ambivalence that they have about a health issue like mammography, and it's sort of based on principles of autonomy so that the patient should make the decisions about their own health care for themselves, that the promotora and the patient should have a collaborative approach and that it should be a discussion, not just the promotora, you know, telling the client or patient what to do, that the promotora would evoke intrinsic motivation or sources of motivation from the patient, but that they would also still be directive, and so that they would guide the conversation to lead them more towards attitudes that would lead towards getting a mammogram. So those four principles are kind of considered the spirit of motivational interviewing. It's also a very sort of warm, empathic approach, so it's considered to be very non-judgmental. So we gave the promotoras a guide for their home visit, and we kind of broke it down to make it. So I guess I should also say that motivational interviewing is often something that providers are trained to do. So we're just sort of now, the field is moving into having promotoras and lay health advisors and people sort of with more paraprofessional roles take on being trained to use motivational interviewing. It's typically been used by like substance use counselors and that kind of level of folks. So to sort of simplify it for the promotoras, we talked about these different steps. The first step was that they would just start with a general conversation about mammography to sort of build rapport with the women. Step two, they would try to assess the woman's readiness for change, and we gave them some tools to do that, like rulers, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you to get a mammogram? And then we asked them to think about categorizing the woman that they were speaking with into one of three categories, which is sort of similar to the stages of change concept. But they were, you know, if they weren't ready, that you would sort of respectfully acknowledge their decision, offer information if they gave you permission for that, and emphasize that it was the woman's choice. If they were unsure, the promotora could work on exploring that ambivalence about making changes or about getting a mammogram and hopefully sort of push them further along in their readiness to change. And if they were ready, their role was really to just strengthen their commitment and facilitate action planning. So if there were some specific barriers to getting a mammogram, that they could work through that with the promotora could work through that with the woman. And then after that part of the conversation, they would summarize and offer support and then close the home visit. And then the promotoras also called back the women after 2 weeks, first kind of a check-in to see how they had, whether or not they had made progress on any goals that they had set. So for the training, we had both key research staff and the promotoras themselves trained by a what they call a mentee, someone that was certified in doing motivational interviewing training. And that training consisted of 3 days of both didactive and interactive role-playing in English and Spanish. They also learned some basic breast cancer biology. We didn't emphasize a lot of breast cancer knowledge because we really didn't want the promotoras to get into this offering advice and assistance mode, right? Motivational interviewing is about meeting the woman where she's at and figuring out what motivates her, not like giving more information. But we did provide information about mammography as well in case the women had questions, and really focused a large part of the training on the motivational interviewing piece. And then in terms of evaluating the fidelity to the motivational interviewing protocol, we audio recorded the visits that they made to the homes, and those were reviewed by research staff. We had two research staff that reviewed them for quality assurance, just to make sure they were following the protocol, and then actual intervention fidelity to the MI process. And so the recordings were reviewed to identify the number of open and closed-ended questions, which is part of key part of motivational interviewing. You want to ask more open-ended questions and less closed-ended questions because that gets the woman talking more. And then we also evaluated the ratio of reflections to total questions. And the idea is that you are reflecting back, sort of using reflective listening as much as you are asking questions. So it's sort of a balance of both evoking information from the woman and then a lot of active listening. And then we also had the coders code MI adherent and non-adherent behaviors. And those recordings were also used to provide ongoing feedback to the promotora. So we would, take snippets of the recordings and talk to them in the regular meetings to kind of help coach them on how they were doing. So in terms of the results from that fidelity assessment, we ended up recording about 130 of the 205 home visits that were done. And we did review a sample of the recordings from all four promotoras that were hired over the course of the study. So there was some turnover over the study. And for 20% of the recordings, we decided to review just the first 15 minutes. And for 10% of the recordings, we reviewed the full session to make sure they were sort of following the full protocol. Overall, 50% of the questions were open-ended, and there was a range of between 49 to 55% among the four promotoras, and that is sort of considered to be equivalent to beginning a proficiency using the MITEI manual, which is the MITEI is a coding system for coding motivational interviewing encounters. And overall, they had a 1-to-5 ratio of reflections to total questions. So you really want to see, like I said, more of a 1-to-1 ratio. So they were definitely asking more questions than reflecting, using reflective listening. Some of the examples of "Am I adherent?" behaviors were that they were expressing empathy, using evocative questions, using a very collaborative approach with the women, asking for permission before providing information, and using the scales to gauge readiness to change and the importance of mammography. And in terms of conclusions and next steps, we definitely felt like we were able to train the promotoras to be proficient in motivational interviewing, but there was definitely some room for improvement as well. And turnover and maintaining fidelity really necessitated ongoing training. So I think at the outset we thought, well, we'd do one training and they'd be good to go. And we really realized throughout the intervention that MI needs a lot of coaching and fine-tuning, and so we ended up sort of retraining both new people and the people that stayed on to really try to get them to use more of the MI approach throughout the intervention. And we've just finished data collection in terms of our follow-up, so the next steps would be to assess whether the proficiency level of the promotoras actually influences the outcomes and whether or not the women were more likely to get mammography or not. But we do feel like we were able to show that this is a feasible approach. Thank you.